Stand with me this morning in reverence to God for the reading of our text. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I am come to send fire on the earth. But what will I if it be already kindled? I read another translation of this the other day, and it is my title, I Came to Set You on Fire. But what will I do if it is already ablaze? I came to set you on fire. Remain standing and bow with me for a word of prayer. Holy Ghost, do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus said, I came to set you on fire. This verse of scripture just puts emphasis on what Jesus came to do. In Luke 19:10, he said, I came to seek and save the lost. Again, he said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Again, he said, I came to set the captive free. I came to heal the cripple and to raise the dead. I came to give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He said, I came to meet your needs. I came because I love you. There are many things that Jesus came for. But in Luke 12:49, he said, I came to set you on fire. I came to set you on fire. Now, friend, when you get the fire of God in your life, it'll change the way you walk and talk. It'll change the way you live and act. It'll change the way you spend your time and your money. When you get the fire of God in your life, people won't ask you if you're saved. They'll know that. They won't ask you if you go to church. They'll know that too. But when you get the fire of God in your life, people might ask you, where'd you go to get what you've got? Because I need it too. Oh, the fire of God. Something about a fire, that where the fire goes, it'll attract attention. When a fire truck goes down the street, we all turn our heads. When a building catches on fire, it'll attract a crowd. But when Lake Village Assembly gets on fire, people beat a path to your door to see what's making you burn. What are you getting turned on with? It is the fire and the power of God. Something else about a fire is that where a fire goes, it'll spread. And when we, the people of God, get on fire, wherever we go, that fire will go with us. And people are going to be touched by that fire. When they are touched by we that are on fire, a fire will start a fire. A fire will spread. You be that fire and you watch it spread. Jesus set my heart on fire one day with the Holy Ghost fire, and I have never been the same since. And I know that he is able to set you on fire. And all God needs is your permission. And he's the one who enables you to do it. He said, I came to set you on fire. When you let Jesus light your fire, it'll be an altogether different ballgame in your life. You'll quit living for worldly things. I don't care what it is, it will become secondary to Jesus Christ. Look in the Bible and you'll find that God reveals himself more than anything else as in fire. Oh, he's the rain that is coming and the latter rain that is upon us. He's the wind that is blowing and the wind of his spirit that is blowing again. He's the beautiful dove that flutters its wings in our midst. But more than anything else in the Bible, God reveals himself in fire. Fire is purging. Fire has healing power. Fire is exciting and fire is God. The psalmist David said, his ministers, a flaming fire. Jeremiah said, his word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Oh, my friend, God was that burning bush of Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, that said to Moses, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. God was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. God was the fire that fell from heaven on Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed. Hebrew writer said, our God is a consuming fire. And in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist put it so well when he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one who comes after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When John the Revelator saw Jesus glorified in the book of Revelation, he said, his eyes are like flames of fire. My friend, Jesus is the fire setter and the fire baptizer. God doesn't want to be a bush burning out on the hillside anymore. God doesn't want to be a pillar of fire out in the wilderness. God wants to be that bush burning in your heart. He wants to be the pillar of fire on the inside of you. And I can tell you this, many of you already know it. That is the only way that you're going to live for God and hit the devil in the head and be victorious in these last days is for you to get plugged in and turned on to the Holy Ghost power. You see these lights shining? It's because they're plugged in and turned on. You get plugged in and turned on to the Holy Ghost fire power plant, you'll shine better than these lights ever shine. You'll shine for Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the place where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The church received its power in the midst of a Holy Ghost fire explosion. The fire of God came down. This is not when the church was supposed to end. This is when the church was just a baby. We were to go into bigger and better things from there. We're the church, not this building, but we the people. Many people have been to Calvary for pardon, but we need to go to Pentecost and get the power. We need the Pentecostal power of the Holy Ghost. I heard about a church that literally did catch on fire. There was most of the community was out there trying to help put out the flames. And there was a man from up the street. They'd been trying to get him to church for years. There he was down there trying to help him put out the flames. One of the deacons turned to him and said, John, this is the first time I've seen you in church in a long time. John said, this is the first time I've seen this church on fire in a long time. Oh, the fire of God. On a Sunday night in Oregon a few weeks ago, there was a church that got so on fire for God that one of the unsaved neighbors next door looked out and thought, sure, she saw flames come out of one of the windows of the church. She panicked. She called the fire department. They came rushing to the scene. But when they got there, they found out that was one fire that the fire department couldn't put out. That was the Holy Ghost fire. That's the kind of fire that we need in our lives and in our churches. That's the kind of fire that we need in our churches and in our communities. What to God that kind of a Holy Ghost revival fire would break out this week right here at Lake Village Assembly. You know, I was in a church a few weeks ago that was so dead that one of the pastor of the church, as we started the revival, the pastor called me into his office and he said, now, preacher, he said, Brother Todd, he said, I just want to warn you ahead of time. He said, I don't know how the attendance will be because he said, we just can't seem to get a crowd in our church. He said, we've tried everything. He said, what do you suggest? He said, we've tried chicken suppers, ice cream socials, pancake feeds, fish fries. He said, none of it seems to work. What do you suggest? I was only joking with him, but I said, why don't you just burn the building down? That'll get a crowd every time. But you see, when the church gets on fire for God, and people are going to come out and see what's got you on fire. And may I submit to your consideration that any church that has to depend on chicken, ice cream, pancakes, and fish are going to be as dead as the chicken, as cold as the ice cream, as flat as the pancake, and as fried as the fish. That's not God's way of doing things. It's the Spirit of God that draws people, and it's the fire of God that shut up in our bones. He said in his word, be not drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. That is not a mild request. That, my friend, is a divine directive. I believe you need to get so filled up with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost this week that if a mosquito bit you, he'd go away singing, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood, amen? Next time a mosquito bites you, see if that's not what he says. Oh, the fire of God. Now, I've said all that this morning to tell you something else. We would have been here a lot quicker if y'all would have been listening faster, but you've held us up. I believe the reason why America is in the mess that we're in right now is because we, the people of God, haven't been on fire. We've let the devil get away with too many things. In America, we've got more places to get drunk than we do to go to church or to get saved. We've got more bartenders than we do preachers. And we need the Holy Ghost fire of God to take to this community so that the bartenders and the alcoholics will get saved. The drug dealers and the dope addicts will get saved. The prostitutes and the porta pushers will get saved. Listen, when they get saved, they get that divine nature. Then they won't want to drink. They won't want to smoke. They won't want the illicit sex. But not only do we need to get the fire of God back in our churches, we also need to get the fire of God back in our homes. Let's get the family altar back in our homes. Let's get prayer and Bible reading back in our homes. Psalm 127 and verse 1, it says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Again, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want to encourage every father and every grandfather in this building this morning, every day when you get up in the morning, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorpost of your home so the devil cannot come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Sir, be the priest of your home. Represent God to your family and your family to God. And parents, be an example to each other and to your children and your grandchildren according to the guidelines that Paul laid down in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Let's get the fire of God back in our homes. Let's get the family altar back in our home. Let's get prayer and Bible reading back in our homes. Not only do we need the fire of God back in our churches and back in our homes, but we need the Holy Ghost fire of God back in our schools. It went down in history as one of the darkest pages. June the 17th of 1963, when the high courts of our land declared it unconstitutional to read the Bible or to pray in our public schools. That's been 58 years ago, and our nation has never been the same since. We've had crises after crises, chaos and trouble, and turmoil in every direction, and the devil has made a playground in most every one of our public schools. The Bible and God have been debarred and kicked out of our public schools, and as a result of it, the devil has moved in. God has become unwanted and unwelcome, and the devil has become welcome with open arms. Cussing and swearing, drinking and smoking. Listen to me. In our public school systems, we have allowed the devil to get away with the teaching of critical race theory, CRT. Humanism, secularism, socialism, atheism, and all the other isms that the devil is using. We've allowed the devil to get away with stopping the singing of Christmas carols in many of our schools, stopping school kids from reading their Bible and praying in many of our schools. And one school teacher over in Texas was fired from her job because she gave Bibles to her students as Christmas presents. That's why they fired her. How many of you have heard of the school-based health clinics that are popping up in our public schools all over America? Placed there by Planned Parenthood. They give contraceptives to young men. They give birth control to young ladies. And if a young lady gets pregnant, in most cases, they are condoning and endorsing and encouraging for the young lady without the permission of the parents to have an abortion. In California and many states across America, they have approved bills that have made it legal for teachers to teach in the classroom that homosexuality is an acceptable alternative lifestyle. And if a young person wants to engage in this sin of perversion, then the teacher has permission to give that student the telephone number and address of the nearest gay center in that area. Listen, friend, that's gone too far. And now listen to me. I want to ask a question. How many, and because it is a mission field for our Christian teachers and school administrators to be on our school campuses, whether it's private school or Christian school, or if it's a public school, if you're in this building and you are a teacher or you're a school administrator, I want you to lift your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I want to have these teachers and school administrators, if you will, please stand up if you will, because I want this church body, and I know you've done this many, many times. I want you to honor every one of these precious, precious ladies that are standing right now. Let's give them a big hand. They are on a mission field. Thank you, and you may be seated. 53.8 million students in our public schools in America, and 40 million of our students don't have any Bible at all. And you see all of the garbage that the devil is bringing into our school systems right now since we kick God out of our schools. The devil has moved in. And I want you to listen to me. There may be liberal school board members. There may be liberal school administrators and principals. There may be liberal teachers. There may be godless, wicked organizations like Planned Parenthood, ACLU, and many others that say we've got to take the Ten Commandments off the wall, can't sing Christmas carols in school, can't read the Bible or pray in school. They may say that we can have CRT, critical race theory, in our school. Listen to me. Even the Supreme Court may say all of these things, but I'm here this morning to remind you that we have a Supreme God who's over the Supreme Court, and you can't tell God what he can and cannot do and get away with it. We must listen to God, not man, but God. In September of 1991, Revival Fires, the ministry that I'm the president of, we were one of the very first ministries to go into Russia when those doors came open. We were granted permission from the Minister of Education in charge of all of the public schools of Russia to put Bibles in the classrooms of Russia as textbooks. In the Kremlin building, I was asked by Igor Smirnov, the Minister of Education, over all of the schools. He said, Brother Todd, what kind of a Bible program do you have for the public schools of America? I had to hang my head low, and I told him, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out. And I'm happy to report that from there to now, we have been able to give away more than 5 million Bibles to Russian Red Army soldiers and Russian public school students in Russia. Somebody give the Lord a big hand of praise for that. We're so thankful. But after that very first meeting, I came back to America with a burden on my heart for the public schools of America stronger than I'd ever had before. And I made up my mind that if the young people in the public schools of Russia could have Bibles, the young people in the public schools of America should have the very same right too. Can I hear an amen? Led of the Holy Spirit, we gathered more than 1 million signatures in June of 1995. I was able to have the honor and the privilege of delivering those 1 million signatures to get prayer, voluntary prayer and Bible reading back in the public schools. I was able to deliver those signatures to then Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and the Congress. They had those over 1 million signatures on the floor of the Congress as they voted on the Religious Freedoms Act. And there shortly after, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to design what many of you are familiar with, the Truth for Youth Bible that consists of the entire New Testament, along with powerful comic stories in the front section that deal with the truth of issues of moral concern that young people are confronted with on a daily basis. We deal with the truth about things like drugs and drunkenness and peer pressure and cutting and sexting and bullying and suicide. We deal with the truth about things like pornography, what the Word of God says about homosexual perversion. We deal with the truth about abortion, evolution, many, many other things. The Bible says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We put those Bibles into the hands of young people, Christian young people all across America, that give them to their friends in school that are not saved. I'm happy to report that we've given away more than 2.7 million of those Bibles, and we've received decision cards from more than 25,000 young people that have been saved for the very first time. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise for that. But you can see right here in America, we need to get the fire of God, prayer and Bible reading. We need to get Jesus back in the public schools of America. But there are people right here in America that want to kick God out. They want to remove the chaplain from our armed forces. They want to strike the words "In God We Trust" from our coins and currency. They want to take the words "Under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag. One senator said recently, and I quote, "I look forward to the day when I can walk down the streets of any American city and there will be no sign of God, nor of Christ, nor of his Bible, or of his church." Now listen to me. If the day ever comes when you can walk down the streets of any American city and there's no sign of God, nor of Christ, nor of his Bible, or of his church, if that day comes, it's all over. We've had it. And I would say to these individuals, Pastor, if they want to live in a country without God, without Christ, without his Bible, without his church, if that's the kind of country they want to live in, then why don't they just pack up their suitcases and move to a country that's already that away? We don't need that godless, wicked activity taking place here in America. But there are people right here in America that want to kick God out. Hear me. We need the fire of God in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, and in our nation. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. A man converted from communism came to America. He lived in Russia. He came to America. He joined a local church. And after he became a member of that church, the pastor called him into his office and sat down with him and said, "Now, sir, now that you're a member of our church," he said, "there's just three things that we ask that you do at our church, just three things." He said, "Number one, we have services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We'd like for you to be here for all three services as much as you can." He said, "Number two," he said, "on Saturday mornings, once a week, we go soul winning and invite people to church and tell them about Jesus." He said, "If you're not too busy after working all week, we'd like for you to come on Saturday and go soul winning with us." He said, "And number three," he said, "the Bible lays down guidelines that you're to give 10% of your income to the Lord's work each week that you get paid." He said, "So when you get paid," he said, "when each week that you get paid," he said, "if you'll bring that 1/10 of your income, a tithe of your income to the Lord's house," he said, "that's how we pay the bills here." He said, "Those three things that we ask that you do." When this man converted from communism came to, heard this, he looked at the pastor and he said, "Pastor," he said, "you telling me that for Jesus, that I'm to come to church three times a week?" He said, "I want you to know that whenever I was in Russia," he said, "we had Communist Party meetings that I attended every night." He said, "And you tell me that for the Lord, I'm to go soul winning once a week on Saturday mornings?" He said, "I want you to know that whenever I lived in Russia," he said, "every afternoon when I would get out of work, I'd be down on the street corner passing out communist glitter to everybody passing by that would take it from me." He said, "And you tell me that for the Lord, that I'm to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work?" He said, "I want you to know that in Russia," he said, "I gave 50% of my income to the Communist Party. 50%. I was down on the street corner every afternoon passing out socialism and the communism information." And he said, "I went to Communist Party meetings every day." He said, "And now you come along and talk to me about going to church three times a week and going soul winning once a week and giving 10% of my income to the Lord's work?" And then he said these words, and I'll never forget it. He said, "No wonder you Christians in America are not getting anything more done for God than you are." And it is no wonder. Listen, if ever we needed the fire of God back in Lake Village Assembly, that time is right now. Right now. If ever we needed to get the fire of God back in your home, that time is now. If ever we needed the fire of God back in our schools, that time is now. If ever we needed to get the Holy Ghost revival fire of God back in America, that time is now. It's now. It's now. Let this be your prayer. Lord, give to me thy love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep, that I may see the multitudes in Lake Village and weep as thou dost weep. Help me to see the tragic plight of souls far lost in sin. Help me to love, to give, to go, to bring the wandering in. From off of the altars of thine heart, take thou some flaming coals and touch my life and give me, Lord, a heart that's hot for souls. Let the fire of God be lit in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your personal life, in Lake Village Assembly, in Lake Village, Arkansas, this nation, and in this world. Listen, God can use you. God has a job for everybody listening to my voice. That's why I'm here this week, because God has a job for you. Bow your heads, close your eyes, open your hearts all over the building.